Newsletter, May 2024. The incredible importance of infants' transits. None of what follows is medical advice. In fact, I believe that as medical advice, it's mostly incorrect or at best misleading, but it's still a true story. When I was born, the doctor told my mother that she had a B vitamin deficiency and that it was probably exacerbated by the fact that she was breastfeeding me. To correct the problem, he recommended that she drink a pint of Guinness Stout every day. It's true that Guinness Stout contains folate, which is a B vitamin necessary for the production of some of our genetic materials. The trouble with the theory is that a pint of the stuff provides only 3.2% of our necessary daily dose, which means we need to drink 30 beers per day to stay healthy. The devil is in the details, in other words. Mom followed the doctor's orders, which was no hardship for her, and since I was breastfeeding, naturally that meant that I was following them too, albeit in secondhand fashion. Before I was 3 months old, I had drunk a lot of Guinness Stout via my mother. Without knowing it, I suspect I had quietly qualified for Irish citizenship. Now, two decades later, while majoring in debauchery at the University of North Carolina, I again encountered Guinness. Even though I was unaware of my early history with it, I couldn't get enough of the stuff. I loved it. Apparently, I actually once said, "Why, it's just like mother's milk." The light bulb lit over my head when I shared my enthusiasm for Guinness with my mom, which led to her telling me the story. Ah. In this age of developmental psychology, it's a truism that infants' experiences play a pivotal role in the formation of their adult characters. For most of us, that has nothing to do with drinking Guinness Stout, but we all know the importance of actively loving newborn kids, touching them, looking into their eyes, speaking to them, and so forth. We all cringe when we hear stories of infants subjected to neglect or brutality. We understand how deep those kinds of scars can run. Unless we are completely divorced from human instinct, perhaps because of having been hurt when we were little, all of this is in the category of obvious things that everybody knows. Now, can a child's chart or knowledge of it play a helpful role in any of that? Can it make us better parents? By reflex, I'd say yes, but the truth of it is that I think much of the relevance of the natal chart in terms of raising a kid comes into full power only a little later on. That's when we start facing more complicated parenting choices. For example, kids with a lot of fire sign energy need more risk and adventure in their early lives than do more watery children. With an infant, individuation is really just starting, so we're mostly back to the basics: love, touch, peace, nutrition, and security. And no astrology is really necessary. In the first months of life, those universal fundamental needs loom larger than the more individualized ones. That remains true at least until the child attains some degree of mobility and agency, which, of course, doesn't take terribly long. I believe that everything I just said about astrology and babies is fundamentally true, but with one glaring exception, and that brings us to progressions. Most of you listening know the basic theory of astrological progressions, I'm guessing. Technically, I'm speaking here of what we call secondary progressions, by the way, the ones most of us use. The basic idea is the soul of simplicity. Days become years. Want to know the positions of your progress planets on your 30th birthday? Check out their transiting positions 30 days after you were born. It's that simple. In progressions theory, we set up a resonance between Earth's two most obvious rhythms, its daily rotation on its axis and its annual revolution around the sun. We imagine one to be reflected in the other. It's a whole lot like saying, in human years, Fido the dog is now in his 80s. There, too, we set up a resonant equivalency between two cycles of different lengths, and in that case, setting a dog's typical lifespan in parallel to a human one. European civilization reached maturity during the Renaissance of the 16th century. There's the same idea, reaching maturity, biological or historical. Now, I'd be the first to say that the whole idea of progressions actually working seems completely crazy, but they do. For example, right as my own progressed son was entering Aries 2 summers ago, I found myself among towering icebergs floating in an inflatable raft over half a mile of ice water on an Arctic expedition with a gigantic fin whale breaching 20 feet away. Does that sound like Aries to you? Progressions work. Let's get back to babies. Putting two and two together leads me to the point of this essay, and perhaps to a new and potentially very healing application of evolutionary astrology. It all stems from thinking deeply about the implications of one very simple, obvious idea. The transits of the first 3 months of life are an energetic rehearsal for the progressions of a lifetime. Now, my three-month statement there is somewhat arbitrary. It's based on the rough notion that we might live 40 years to age 90, in other words. The point is that the transits of the first 90 days of your life are your progressions for the next 90 years. If you tend towards actuarial optimism, you could think instead of a child's first 100 days if you wanted to. Some of us do make it to the century mark. Before I get to the heart of the matter, there is one more quick technical point I should clarify. For purposes of simplicity, I'm going to stick to the basic day-for-year model of progressions. Because the length of true astronomical days and years are rounded off a bit for practical purposes, there's a tiny bit of slush in the system. The bottom line is that to know exactly when progressions come due, your computer will give you the precise answer. So, cutting to the chase. Say a woman experiences progressed Venus conjuncting her sun when she's 27 years old. Pretty reliably, she'll be meeting someone around that time. Again, for purposes of simplicity, I'm going to keep our Venus focus really narrow and think about the dawn of a possible romantic relationship for this woman, maybe even meeting an old soulmate with whom the contract in this lifetime is marriage. In practice, progressed Venus events can and do refer to all sorts of relationships, not just romantic ones. Now let's get real. This woman is 27. She's probably experienced some heartbreak in her life. Who hasn't by the time they reach that age? She's been lied to. She's had people upon whom she counted fail her. Under the rays of her progressed Venus, she brings all of that baggage to bear upon this critical meeting with her true soulmate. Which part of her wins? Her wounds or her soul? In various forms and disguises, this is the universal human situation. This is the kind of evolutionary challenge we all face in our lives. Life is beautiful, but who would claim it's easy? Enter the astrologically informed parents. We turn back the hands of time 27 years. The woman in our tale has now just been born. Lucky child, her parents understand her chart. They can see that in 27 years, her progressed Venus will be conjuncting her sun. That's a long time from now. But right now, the 2 or 3 day period when transiting Venus will cross her sun is less than a month away. It will soon be time for an energetic rehearsal for that big progression that's still almost 3 decades in the future. As soon as transiting Venus gets within a couple of degrees of that conjunction, these conscious, astrologically informed parents make sure to dote on their baby daughter. They give her an extra helping of holding her, loving her, speaking softly to her. They gaze into her eyes. They help her feel worthy of love. In other words, they do their best to give her an experience of trust, affection, and bonding. Developmentally, that sweetness comes at exactly the right moment. The parents naturally do not know exactly what the future will bring, but supported by their knowledge of progressions, they can be sure that right now they're helping their baby daughter prepare for a relationship that still lies 27 years down the road. Through the magic of progressions, they can already see it coming. Synchronicity comes into play too, as it always does. Perhaps the baby's aunt and uncle just happened to, in quotes, come by for a visit right around that same time. They too coo over the new addition to the family, since for purposes of the story, I'm assuming heterosexuality. It's particularly helpful that the baby is touched by a strange man right then. In this case, it's her loving uncle. Her energy body is imprinted with a positive experience in that regard right at the perfect developmental moment. The relevance to her future romance is obvious. Now let's assume a very different astrological situation. Much later, when our newborn baby is 42 years old, her progressed sun will oppose Saturn. I'm not gloomy about Saturn times. They can be very wonderful, but they generally involve us having to take care of ourselves without much external help. They have a solitary quality. Often they require patience, persistence, and self-discipline. Now, anyone who's ever had a kid is familiar with the following situation. You're awakened in the wee hours by the child fussing. Do you immediately get up and tend to the baby? Do you give her a few minutes to see if she calms herself down? At what point do you decide to let her just tough it out on her own? Armed with astrological understanding, the parents realize that their daughter is currently experiencing a transit of the sun in opposite to her natal Saturn. And that transit is preparing her developmentally for a major solitary effort she will need to make in her life 42 years from now. They have no idea what form that effort will take, but they can be sure that success will depend on their daughter's strength, patience, and self-sufficiency. They love her, so this may be hard for them, but they know that they are serving their child's soul by staying in bed that night and letting her work out whatever the problem is on her own. Of course, if that same child were fussing in exactly the same way 2 weeks earlier, back in that Venus time, the parents would know to immediately rush to her cradle and prove to her that they would always be there for her no matter what. Back then, she needed an experience of receiving love. 2 weeks later, she needed an experience of taking care of herself without counting on anyone else to do it for her. You get the idea. Once again, the transits of the first 3 months of life are an energetic rehearsal for the progressions of a lifetime. Conscious parents, informed by the mysteries of evolutionary astrology, can provide an extraordinarily prescient kind of support for their infants. And what loving parent could fail to feel wonderful about doing that? Let's add one more piece to the puzzle. This one is about taking care of the mother and the father rather than focusing on the needs of their child. Being a parent involves making a lot of tough judgment calls. Everyone in that position sometimes second guesses themselves, wondering if they made a mistake or maybe even unintentionally damaged their child psychologically. Those kinds of worries and self-doubts are understandably almost universal among parents, and that's because raising a child inevitably involves a lot of high-stakes guesswork. With this kind of astrology on their side, people can parent with more confidence and avoid some of the misplaced guilt that so often goes along with trying to be a good mom or dad. So finally here, let me return briefly to my early adventures with Guinness Stout. I was born with Neptune very nearly stationary retrograde and closely square to my sun. Transiting Neptune made its actual station just 9 days after I was born, then retrograded back to its natal position after only 11 more days. In other words, it was at maximum power, that's progress Neptune conjunct natal Neptune and square my sun, when I was 20 years old. That was right when I was discovering Guinness Stout, all the while, as I put it, majoring in debauchery at the University of North Carolina. I didn't go down the drain at that point, but I took a good close look at it. Now, outer planet progressions move so slowly that I don't actually use them very much. But today, by progression, slowboat Neptune is only 1 degree away from the position it was in when I was born. It's barely moved, in other words, and it continues to square my sun, of course. I still enjoy a Guinness. Although I guess I always smile a little mysteriously when I drink one, I always remember to raise a glass to my old drinking buddy back there in the first months of my life. That's my mom, and I still love her, even though she left the planet back in 2017. I was lucky in the mom and dad department, and that's something for which I am more grateful with every passing year. But my point here is that the transits of the first 3 months of life are still echoing in my experience today, only now they are disguised as progressions. And the same is true of you. Thank you.